Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right, I don't think I've actually said this morning. Good morning, church. Richard, you were going to call me on it, weren't you? Dick, who you got with you this morning? Oh man, it's awesome, Judy, to have you back. It's so good to have you with us this morning. We have missed you. John, sitting back there, you got some people with you. Who you got? It's good to worship together as a family, for sure. Alyssa, who you got?
I got my brother, Jason, and my nephew, Caden.
It's just a good family day, for sure, man, having everybody. One of my joys this morning was standing in front of Ian during worship, because I could hear him in my left ear. That's just a treat to hear Ian sing, and so I might just have to position myself right there a little bit more, because usually Bud is singing in my ear, and that's not good. And then I got to get up here and try to overcome everything I just heard. It's a miracle every week. I'll tell you, I talked to Bud this morning. He comes in every week and opens up the church and unlocks. And there's a proverb that it says, many boast of their greatness, but who can find a faithful man? So good, brother. Just faithful, right? Faithful at the post that God has called you to be at. How many of y'all know that family is pretty fun? Sometimes not. And our kids are pretty fun too. My daughter recently discovered the copy machine here in the back of the church, and she put her face on it, and then she Xerox copied her face. That's her cheek right there. That's her little eyeball, and it looks like one of those pictures at Kings Island when you're like flying by the, and your hair is going all kind of crazy, and she's just having the time of her life. Just there she is, just screaming and having a good time. And as I'm making copies, I always realize that there's like this middle smudge space on all of my copies. I'm like, here's why. Because her greasy little cheeks are messing it up. So anyway, speaking as a dad with kids, yesterday I'm driving and I got Nora in the back seat. And riding in the car with Nora is always a treat, but we're eating sunflower seeds. This last week, Todd introduced Nora, how do you eat a sunflower seed? And how do you get it in there? You suck all of that salt off. Then you kind of stand it sideways and crack it. Then you stand it long ways in your teeth, you crack it. Then you suck the seed out, you eat the seed, then you spit out the shell. That's a pretty big experience for a child to do. And so I'm handing these seeds back to Nora as she is starting the process of sucking on these seeds. And I got the original, and I also got taco. Have you ever had the taco? Oh, I can make a meal out of that stuff. And then there's also another one, it's called buffalo chicken. That stuff is spicy. So we stayed away from that one, but I'm handing Nora these taco ones, and she's losing her mind over these things. And she goes, hey, Dad, I don't want these. You can have them back. And so I reach, and I just throw them in my mouth. She had already sucked all of the salt dry. And I throw them back in. I'm like, ugh, what is going on? It's like it once was a grape, but now it's a raisin. And that thing was just all chewed up. It was worn out. It was not an awesome experience. Have you ever had those times whenever you were just so hopeful of what it could be and just was left disappointed? And I want to talk this morning about that there should be this want to and our wanter for the presence of the Lord. And I would just wonder if we're ever going to just go through this life, experience 90 years, and then show up to heaven and say, what? It could have been something else. It could have been more of an experience. I could have engaged the presence more and more. And the title of the message this morning is, If You Had Only Known. If you would have known what you could have experienced here on this side. As a kid, my grandparents had a swimming pool, and we would go swimming, and y'all know that blue tarp that goes over the top of that swimming pool. Well, whenever you're a kid, there's nothing more challenging and exciting than swimming the length of the pool underneath the solar cover. All the moms are just shaking their heads at me right now. What are you thinking, man? And so this is what we would do. We would say, hey, this is your last time, your last trip, you know, whatever. Like any good, you know, kid, we would squeeze like 10 more times out of it. And they had a diving board on one side. It was 8 feet deep. And then it would gradually go up to about 3.5 to 4 feet on the shallow end. And so we would dive in because we were also, after we would swim, we would pull the solar color. So we would pull it on just short enough of the diving board. So we would dive in, and then we got to swim the length of this pool underneath the solar cover. That's good for the first couple times until you're starting to get gassed. And your arms just aren't going anymore. Your lungs just are maxed out. And I remember one time I dive in and I'm swimming and I'm thinking, there's no way. I'm not going to make it. Y'all know that feeling when you're like, you guys don't know that feeling because you've never done this. And I know it's not going to happen. And all I need is a breath of air. And I pop up and that cover comes around my head. And I go, and I can't breathe. And it is 150 degrees in there. And I am sucking wind. And I'm swimming and I'm trying to get to the other end of that thing. And it's just all wrapping around me. And I'm kicking. And that thing weighs, you know, 500 pounds. And you're trying to get it off. And you are fighting. It feels like you're fighting for your life. And it's heavy, and you're suffocating. You're like, I just need one more inch, one more little push. And there's nothing that you want on the entire planet than just a breath of air. Oh, and you're just going, and finally you come up on the other side. And you make it. I want to put into context the driver and the want to. That is, if your life depends on it, how much do you salivate and crave the presence of Jesus more than the air itself? God, I need you more than my next meal. I need you more than this next breath. I wouldn't say that there's anything else on the planet that I need more than him. I couldn't say that I need air more than I need Jesus. And that there's this craving inside. There were three major players in Scripture that said, there's one thing that I need. There's one thing that I'm after. The first one was King David. And King David said this, there's one thing that I seek. And in Psalm 27:4, one thing that I ask from the Lord, this one thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To set my gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Here's King David, who's running this government. He's the king. He's got it all. And he says, and none of this other stuff matters, but there's one thing. And it's just to be in the presence and to set my gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. As we were singing that first song, Alyssa, man, there was just, because this message has already been in me for a few days, and I'm just singing this song, and I can't wipe the smile off of my face. Oh, I want to set my affection upon this, God. There's one thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, he's the major hitter in the New Testament. He says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, or one translation says, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has taken a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken a hold of it, but there's one thing that I do. Man, if the Apostle Paul could boil it down to this one thing, and if you and I could boil it down to one thing in our life, sure, there might be 20 things, there might be 30 things, but if there's one thing, and we could boil it down, there's this one thing, forgetting what has happened behind me, straining toward what is lying ahead. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's this one thing. David said there's one thing, and it's to be in the presence. The Apostle Paul said there's one thing, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards Jesus Christ ahead, to lay a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. There's one other major player in Scripture. Perhaps you've heard of him. It's the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is talking to Martha and Mary. Y'all remember the story as they're coming together, and I want to hang here for a lot of the life of Jesus as people are salivating when they get around this guy. There is a hunger, there's an appetite for more when they come around Jesus. There was something so intoxicating and inebriating and drawing in about who this guy was. They wanted to be around the presence. They craved it. Just like your favorite meal, just like living one block away from Grains and Grill as they blow the grill smoke into my bedroom window. There's a craving that happens whenever you get around something. I'm not even hungry, but I could eat. Are y'all with me? And so here's Jesus in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him. Now, here's the situation. Mary and Martha are together, and Martha is working for Jesus, and Mary is worshiping Jesus. Two very different things. Both are good, but one thing is better. There's one thing. We can work for Jesus, or we can worship Jesus. And so Mary and Martha are together, and Mary is just washing Jesus' feet. And Martha is hustling, and she's working around. I always remembered this story because Martha was the name of my grandmother. And boy, was she a hustler. She would work nonstop all the time. So here's Martha, and she's distracted with working. Death by distraction will get you every time, just because the focus is broken. How many of y'all know a laser's strength is in its focus? And the more that the laser just bounces around, it just doesn't even matter anymore because you're just firing all over. But whenever that laser gets focused and it's undistracted, it's unadulterated, and it's locked in, it's zeroed in at a whole other level, then we can hit the mark. Jason and I, we pulled out our bow and arrow yesterday, and we were shooting from I don't know how many yards away. We're pretty accurate from about 5 feet. But then we go, you know, farther out, and then we go farther out. I don't know, by the end of it, we were maybe 30 yards, 35 yards. And hitting this target matters to the degree that you're locked in, to where you're focused on something else, to where you're lasered in. And she said that she was distracted. And she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I have this conversation with my kids every single day. Not because they're washing my feet, but because somebody's not carrying their load. "Well, I didn't put them there. Nora did. Tell Nora to pick them up." And usually it is Nora. "Tell Judah, Judah's not helping. Tell Ronnie's not helping. Tell them to help." And this is Martha. She's complaining because somebody else is worshiping. You ever come into the presence and they're like, "That was too loud. Turn it down. He's like swaying a little bit. We should be holy and proper. Don't raise your hands." Or the other way. "This is just old. Turn the organ down. Whatever. We complain that someone's engaging the presence. Are y'all with me? And so here's Martha. She's whining about what's going on. And Jesus has a great response. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Some of y'all know there's a lot of things going on in America today. And we can get fired up about many things. We can get stressed out about many things. We can wear anxiety like a pool cover. This heavy and it's suffocating. Some of y'all know if we could, like Jason said this morning, we need to quarantine the media for 14 days. Man, would we just come alive, man. Turn off your TV for a couple weeks. We would be a lot better. Wow, that was the most applause I've gotten in a month. Brought to you by Jason Johns. You're worried about many things, but few things are really needed. There's only a few things that are necessary. Or, he says, or indeed, there's one thing. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her. I just wonder how many times there's just a casual approach. Y'all know that casual approach whenever you're familiar with somebody, and you just walk in, and you got your handshakes, and you kind of bring it in, and if you're a guy, you give the bro kind of a couple pounds on the back, and we're just kind of casual. We're just very familiar with, and so we just kind of flippantly walk in, or hey, they happen to be in town. Yeah, but I just saw them yesterday, so I don't need to make any extra, you know, to go out of my way to be with them, because, you know, it's just casual. It's familiar. Did you know that the word that's the opposite of holy is common? When something is common, it's familiar. We're just used to it. There's nothing special about it. But to be holy means that it's completely set apart from what is normal. Right? And so whenever we treat the presence as common, we're just going into church, you just roll in there, maybe even just a few minutes late. I don't really necessarily like this song. Why'd she pick that song? And we just kind of waltz in, or even around your own home. Just, I don't really need to engage right now. I can just do it another time. And a casual approach to something that is holy, I'll tell you, turns off the giver. Whenever I'm around somebody that I've got something to give or to deposit, and there's no hunger to pursue it, it turns off the giver. You don't even want it. I'm ready to release and to give. And we want to critique, or we don't even want to gauge. There's a casual approach. And I'll tell you, church, my heart is aching that we would be those that are not just stressed and worried about everything going on around us, that we are aching to get into the presence of God. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She is pushing. She's getting past all the distractions. She's got to have an encounter. She's got to have a breakthrough. Jesus is here. I got to engage. I don't care what other people are saying or doing around me, or that I might look weird, I might look off, I might just look different. Nothing else matters. The Apostle Paul says everything else is garbage unless I can get a hold of him. David said there's one thing that I seek. I got to set my gaze upon him. Y'all remember whenever David brought back the Ark of the Covenant and he's dancing like crazy and he takes his robe off and he's dancing naked in front of, you know, all of Israel, and his wife looks upon him and says, oh, wow, wasn't the king really honored today? You were so undignified in front of our people. I'll be more undignified than this. Watch me next. I got to get a hold of Jesus. I got to worship. I want to, maybe it's kneeling in the presence. Maybe it's lifting our hands. Maybe you're so touched that you're just weeping before him. There's an expression. We ought to be moved in our emotions. We can't waltz into the presence of Jesus and be bored. You can't set your gaze upon the cross and be disinterested. We've got to get a refocus on what truly matters and to where we're gripped and moved by it. In the seat of our emotions, to where it causes our body, we're animated by the presence of God. And something begins to happen with us. The Bible tells us to clap your hands, all you people, to dance before him, to strike up the band and to play the music, to shout, make a joyful noise to the Lord. There ought to be something of expression. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, if God gave us emotions, they should be expressed on the one who is most worthy of their expression. Whew. We ought to pour out our hearts. before God like this. To be gripped and to be moved. John chapter 10 talks about Jesus as this shepherd to his people. And then he likens himself as this tree. And I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he says, if you will abide in me and I will abide in you, you will bear much fruit in your life. That word abide means to stay. If you will stay in me, I will stay in you. You ever feel like a little golden retriever puppy and you're just wanting to go and your tail's just wagging and dad just walked in and you're just all amped and freaking out and you're just got so much energy and excitement and you're ready to go. You're ready to go. I just want to go. Stay. I just wonder how much that God would just say, just stay. Just stay with me for a little bit. Just hang with me. Can't you just tarry a little bit? When Jesus is with his disciples right before he's taken to the cross and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all remember this story? And they're praying all night long. Well, Jesus was praying all night long. They took a nap. And he comes back to them and he's checking on them. Like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, what's going on? And they keep falling asleep in the presence of Jesus. What would y'all do if you got to hang out with the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he dies? You think you would stay up? Or would you be like, this is kind of a boring story. I know how it ends. I'm going to take a nap. They're sleeping on him and he comes back. Are you kidding me, guys? Couldn't you tarry with me just 1 hour? I can't help but wonder, would the heart of God today be saying, could you not just hang with me for 15 minutes a day? Could you not get up a little bit earlier? Could you not stay awake a little bit longer? Could you not turn on some worship music in the car and begin to worship and engage with me? Could you not crack open the scriptures and spend some time with me? I'm inviting you into my presence. Why is there a lack of hunger? Why is there a lack of pursuit on your spirit when it comes to the presence? I believe that he wants to invite us into another level. Remember last week we said that America's greatness is found in her goodness. And America will be great as long as America will be good. And church, I want to encourage us that Fairmount, Summitville, Fallerton, our surrounding areas, Grant and Madison County, it'll be great the more that the people of God are pursuing the goodness of his presence. I wonder how often that Bible is engaged with, where you just spend time with it. I heard that if all of the Americans would pick up their Bibles at once, it would be the greatest dust storm in the history of America. Back here in our library, in our church, we have a few Bibles. These actually were at the parsonage, and I brought them over. This Bible, check this Bible out. Somebody's read through this a time or two. They've cracked this thing open. William J. Lewis, 1908, 112 years of hanging out in the presence of the Lord. How about this one? Check this out. Ella Hockett, Jonesboro, Indiana. This was a Christmas gift, December 25th. 1920 was given to her by mother. This is the granddaddy of them all. This is another one from William Lewis and Evelyn Osborne, who was his wife. 1826. Almost 200 years. I'll tell you, the legacy of your family is dependent upon how much you know him. I'll say that again. The dependency or the legacy of your family is depending on how much you know him. How much you're reproducing the life of Christ in your home. What's the conversation? Is the conversation focused? Or is it just kind of whatever? We just kind of joke and laugh and just meander about and don't really ever get to anything of substance. to focus in and zero in on this man, Jesus Christ, that we would know him. You know, Jesus is sitting with the woman at the well in Scripture, and he sits with this Samaritan woman. And he comes to her and says, would you draw me a cup of water? She said, why are you talking to me, and why would I serve you a cup of water? And he says, if you had only known. If you'd only known who I was, you would have been asking me for a cup of water. And from within you would have been rivers that were alive. If you would have come to me, if you only would have known. That attitude could have been shifted. That marriage could have been shifted. That thing could have been hedged in your life. That relationship with your kids. If you would have only known the access that you had to me and the power of God, that I can lay a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me, I would have shifted your life, because there's one thing. And if you could lock in on this one thing, everything would then be different. But there's one thing. Let me tell you something. If we focus on all things and miss the one thing, then you missed it all. If you gain the world but you lose the one thing, then you lose. I'll tell you, to focus on everything else is a losing strategy. That's how you lose. To focus on the one thing, you're going to win big time. That's the one thing that will not be taken away from you. The Apostle Paul, everything else is garbage to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I got to know him. I want to know him. Church, I want us to be people that just hang in the presence of the Lord, that focus in, that worship in our homes, that worship in our cars. I love that Jake Stroop tells a story. He just gets up early and he gets in the shower and he takes like 30-minute showers and he turns on worship music and he's got a chair or a stool or something like that in a shower. Just takes so long, I can't even stand up anymore. And just literally lets the shower of God rain down on him as he soaks and saturates in the presence, just to hang. Y'all realize that Quakers were like the early soakers in the presence? That whole movement of quietism where we would just come to church and just sit. And we weren't in a hurry. The goal wasn't to get done. Alyssa, going a little long on that song, aren't you? Gee whiz, let's wrap this thing up. We're going to sing that one more time. You missed it. You missed it. If your objective, what's moving in your heart is we went long in the presence. We miss it. Church, there's got to be a hunger at a whole other level that far surpasses comfort, that far surpasses preference. I would have preferred a different song. I would have preferred a different time frame. No, our preferences kneel at the cross to where we're gripped, these holy grippings, a holy desperation where nothing else matters. There's one thing. There's one thing. And I am locked in on this. I don't care if we sing the ABCs. God, I'm hungry and I can find glory that, God, you created the ABCs. I don't care what it is. There's somebody behind the lyrics that I've got to get a hold of. Jesus says, that's the thing. And I appreciate all the work, but what I want is worship. I want the heart that's just bleeding before me, is aching for me, church. And if we're not there, we need to get there. It's time to get there. To spend some time, can't you tarry for an hour in my presence? And I just can't help but believe that the heart of God is just saying, come on, baby, come on. This is the highest level of joy you're ever going to have. Tell me what's better than the presence of the Lord. The Bible would say it this way, come into the presence where there's fullness of joy. At my right hand, there's pleasure forever. Come on, come on, there's more. There's more, and if you think you've tapped out the river of God, you are clueless to the bounty that this guy has. And he's inviting you in to drink deep. And he says, if you would have just drank, you would have had rivers of water that are alive. You want to splash around in a river at a whole nother level? Come on and drink. There's more in store for you. Martin Luther said this. Somebody asked him, he says, what do you got going on? Are you busy today? He says, here's my plan, is I got to work. I have so much to do that I believe I must first start in prayer for the first 3 hours. What is it that's holding you back from the presence? You're just too busy? You're more busy than the great reformer, Martin Luther? And if that's the case, perhaps we need to spend more time in prayer so that we've got the wind of heaven backing us so that we can knock this stuff out. Because you leaning on the arm of the flesh is not getting it done. We've got to have more. And we've got to ache for the presence of a God like this. You've got to push past, like the woman with the issue of blood. I don't care how audacious I look, how silly I look. I don't care what it looks like. I got to get a hold of that guy. I got to lay a hold of him. I got to grab him. Something's got to shift. Something in my heart is not good. I'm living with years of pent-up bitterness and unforgiveness. This isn't working. Whatever your strategy so far, it's not working. I got to try something else, and I bet it's to hang in the presence where that breaker can pop you through to another level. I just can't help but believe that God would say, there's more. Matthew 17, it talks about to seek, to knock, to ask, and to seek, and to knock, and to ask. And I just can't help but God would love to look at us as a church with callous knuckles that we refuse to be denied. I'm knocking, I'm knocking, I'm still here, and I'm knocking, and I am not leaving until you answer this door. And you might take as long as you want. My goal, I guess I'm not connected to his move. I just know my move is to be obedient and to knock and to seek and to ask. Disconnected from what he's going to do, he's called me to knock. Until bloody knuckles are hanging at the end of my arms, I'm pursuing, I'm seeking, I'm asking. And it says that finally the master just gets annoyed at the person that just keeps coming back asking, that the master gives him what he wants. Not that the goal is to make God annoyed. The goal is to get God to move. God, you will move on my behalf because I'm not leaving until you do. Maybe it's breakthrough for your kids. How about the father on the prodigal son? He's always out there looking, and I just can't help but believe he's praying while he's looking for his son. God, come on, bring him home today. Is today the day? With eager anticipation, with an urgent expectancy, come on, bring my kids back. Bring them back. Bring them back. You're the only breakthrough. My words aren't working. What I've done didn't help, but you are the, I set my eyes upon the hill where my help comes from. I need my helper. Come on, Jesus. I'm staying, and I'm looking with eager expectation, and my hopes are high, to get our hopes high on the Lord that he will answer and he will break through. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Our dog, Wrigley, wears seemingly like a North Face fleece coat 24/7. And to be put outside in 90-plus degree weather is torture. You put on leggings, fleece coats, hat, cover yourself in a wool, and go sit outside for a couple hours. You know what it's like being dressed walking from here to your car. Just sit out there for a few hours baking in the sun. We had him sitting out there, and he is like on the collar, almost whimpering. He's like begging us, please let me in. Let me in the house. I gotta get in the house, as he's panting for water. He's panting, like his life depends on it. There is nothing else he wants in all of the world than a drink of water. and he will bark, he will whimper, he will whine until he gets what he wants. He will let the master of the house know, I want to be in there with you. Being out here is suffocating. Being out here, I'm dying. I got to get where you are. Let me in. And he's aching and he's whining and he's begging for it. And we let him in and boom, it is a beeline and he drinks that toilet dry. I didn't mean that. His little water bowl. We just do the water bowl. He does. He will lick to the bottom of that thing. And I just want to ask you, if you could grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, would you say, man, I am panting for the presence. I'm aching to be with him. One of the best examples I have is my wife. Just doing dishes. She's got the worship music playing. She's just crying, standing at this kitchen sink. Any song that talks about the cross, she's a mess. Just broken. God, I want to be moved again. I want to be moved at what matters. I see people more moved and more energy and more emotion coming out off of somebody that didn't say it right on Facebook than you actually being moved by the one thing that really matters. Let's audit our hunger. Let's audit the thirst in our hearts. What's moving us? And is it something that really matters? The Apostle Paul would say, nothing else matters. Everything's garbage except for one thing. Jesus would say, I'm not taking anything about worship away because there's one thing. David says, I've got an entire kingdom to run, but let me tell you where I really want to be. There's one place, and it's in the presence. One day we're going to be in the presence in its fullness. And Jesus could have said, you could have been practicing the presence for the last 9-10 decades if you would have only known. In this life, living water could have been flowing within you. You could have lived offense-free because you would have known me. You could have lived with joy instead of anger because you would have known me. You could have lived with fullness of joy. And joy would have been your strength because you would have known me. What are those things that are maybe blocking you from coming into the presence? And I'll wrap with this. Maybe it's busyness. And I think that we are busy. We're Westerners. We want to produce. We want production more than we want presence. Maybe it's just the appetite. I'm just not hungry for it. There's just not a want to. I need my wanter changed. What I want to do is go watch TV. What I want to do is go work on the truck. What I want to do is go whatever. Maybe it's shame. I don't feel worthy coming into the presence. Brock, that's a cute message and everything, but I just can't. I just feel just locked up. I just feel I'm not good enough. I've done this, this, and this. And if you only knew, there's not a God that would accept me like that. Maybe it's you just feel selfish. Man, why am I asking God to engage my life and to bless my life? I should be praying for all these other people. I can't pursue it for myself. And can I just tell you, any good father wants their kids to come in and just talk to him about their life. It's not selfish for Judah to come and tell me about his life. What are those stoppers in your life? And perhaps here's a couple practical applications. Here's how we do it in our house. Alexa, play whatever. The Blessing by Carrie Job. And you know what happens? We get incredibly focused. We start thinking legacy. We start thinking family. We start thinking generations. We start thinking the presence for generations and generations. Reading the Psalms. Maybe you like, hey, man, I would love for my Bible to look like that after 100 years. Right now, it's still in the box. Where do I even start? You start in Psalms, and it just gets your heart into this place of worship. For me, I love the book of Proverbs. It gets my mind right. It coaches the mindset. This is how we think. This is how we operate. This is how we live life. Go to the Gospel of John. It just tells the story of Jesus. How did Jesus do it? Start in some of those simple places, a proverb, a psalm. Here's the three S's that I like, is solitude, silence, and soaking. Sometimes you don't need to do anything other than just show up. A couple other S's is show up and sit down. Silence and solitude and just soaking in the presence. Just play some worship music and just sit. He can do the work. He's pretty good at the human heart. He can begin to do some stuff. Practicing the presence, where I just want to be mindful. I live in the presence. I want to dream in the presence. I want to think in the presence. How about this? Having hard conversations in the presence. Hey, we got some conflict going on. Let's just invite Jesus to be here as we just want to work through this. We live in the presence. I want to live in the face of God, in the fullness of the presence of God. Let's ask Jesus to make us pant as if our life depends upon it, as if we've got this tarp upon us and you want nothing more than a breath of fresh air. We are craving it. I want to pray for us, church, and that we would move from here, not just to move on with our day or to move on to our lives, but to move on to a life lived in the face of God, a life purposely, passionately pursuing the presence. Let's pray. Greg, will you jump up here? Yeah, there you are. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would just shift our wanter. God, that you would move in our wanter. That the things that we used to be bored with, we're now gripped by. The things that used to just capture our attention, we now would lose interest because there's the one thing that we're after. And Lord, I pray that as a church family, we would practice the presence. God, that we would be people of the word and people of worship. Lord, I pray that this would take root inside of our hearts, that we would worship you when we get up. We would worship you when we go to bed. We would worship you when we're in the shower. We would worship you while we're getting ready. We would worship while we're doing the dishes. We would worship because we're lasered in on you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you. And we want to pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.